Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the November 16 edition of Commodity Week. Well, the Harvest Month soybean contract expired this week, and frankly, so did any bullish enthusiasm for the oilseed. Is there hope? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Harry Cooney from Growmark about locking in energy supplies for the farm, gasoline, diesel, and propane for the coming year. Our panelists in studio and on the phone line today include Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, and Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Well, let's open today's discussion here on Commodity Week with this question. Ellen Dearden, do you think this week's losses in the soybean pit were overdone, or are they the start of a spiral lower for the grains and oil seeds?
Well, it certainly left beans in a very oversold state, but I think the key in here is going to be whether or not the meal can hold. The meal is such an important component. The bean oil's been, you know, the good-looking portion of this crush, but if the meal can hold, and it went down to the 200-day moving average this week, but if it holds, then I think maybe we could see a sizable rebound in here.
Wayne Nelson?
Well, we'd sure like to see it hold in here, Todd. As we look at the base cash basis levels in corn and beans here right now, they're both very, very strong. We were told that we're going to have very, very tight stocks, coming in until we could get Brazil online. We seemed to have overemphasized the good weather or the ideas of the production levels that we're going to be able to come out of South America. I don't think we can probably hold up to our best thoughts out there. But I do tell you one thing. I think that after crashing this much farther, the bin doors will come open easier at just a dollar rally from here.
Mike Zuzalo.
I saw the losses as overdone given the improving fundamentals, Todd, but not overdone given who's running the show and the oil seeds, and that's the managed money. They cut another 39,000 contracts of futures and options this past week on the COT data. But because of those improving fundamentals, other than the Chinese cancellation, the major support holding in equities, the Dow Jones UBS Commodity Index weekly chart holding, a sell signal in the spot dollar at the end of the week, I don't think it's the beginning of a spiral lower. I think essentially we've got global grain and oil seed supplies tightening, and prices are encouraging demand, not rationing it.
The soy complex this week, bean futures, finished like this. The high on the week was $14.52 and a quarter. And remember, the November expired, so this is November, January combined. That one came in the November contract. The low came in the January contract at $13.72 and a quarter. The settlement price week to week, and this would be November to January because of the lead option, is $13.83 and a quarter on the January contract at 68¾ cents lower than it was on the November contract when it expired, when it finished up on Friday afternoon of last week. November beans of this week, that's the new crop, at $12.62.5 for the 2013 year, was down 57.5 cents. Mike, can you expand just a little bit on why you think it is that we have tightening supplies across the globe?
Well, I think number one is the NOPA crush report. It seems like we forgot that right after it came out, and that was the biggest and I think the eighth highest crush month for NOPA's numbers since they started doing the numbers in 2002. The biggest thing, I think, Todd, is the price in China. Right now, the futures over there are $7.60 a ton. The Chinese government buyback price to domestic farmers is $7.40 a ton. We closed this week right around $5.50 a ton. Our Gulf bean basis right now is at a record level for the month of November at just shy of a dollar over. And I think historically that's a great area where support comes in.
So Mike is thinking support will come in. You say, Ellen, that meal is the child that we need to watch at this point. What are you really looking for? I know you said something about the 200-day.
I think we just need to hold about where we are right now and see whether we can find some good buying interest. I think we have seen commercial support coming in here on the meal. And on the flip side of this, this bean oil, I think, is real dependent on what's happening in the palm oil, and that's been a kind of a market that's strengthened here over the last several weeks, and I think will continue to strengthen.
Anything in the beans that struck you this week other than the pretty good-sized drop in that marketplace?
Well, there was an awful lot of talk about renewing the dollar blending credit for the soy oil, Todd. And that, of course, if would be enacted and brought back in, would add a lot of oomph back to the bean crush margins and would take us back on up. Like you said, we're looking at some of the best basis we've ever seen for the month of November at the Gulf. We're seeing plenty of margin as to import beans into China, the shipping for a $2 differential there. It looks to me like we ought to be looking ahead here for at least a little spurt of business between now and at least through the middle of January.
Does the soy complex need to lead this market higher in order for it to stay higher?
No, I don't think so. I think we can be led by any of the three. You know, we've really seen this wheat jump around, and the bean complex being lower this week, you know, kind of wrapped things up.
Yeah, this is kind of where I was thinking about heading with the wheat market just a bit, and let me give you the numbers. December wheat at 48.5 lower at $8.38. July at 8.45¾. We're down 42¾. Now, it was down substantially, but, Ellen, the market— the chart for the wheat looks better than anything else still.
We're still on that big, broad sideways chart-wise for wheat. And, yeah, we're at the bottom end of that. We were at the high end of that about a week ago, 10 days ago. Wheat seems to like to do the head fakes, too. So anytime we come down here, even if we would break through the bottom side support, you know, we can jump up pretty easily there, too.
Mike, you like to have wheat lead one way or the other. Are you leaning that it can continue to hold the market higher?
I think it can support the market, especially the corn market, Todd. I think, you know, given that Paris wheat right now is about 72 cents a bushel more than March futures in Chicago, that's the widest that price spread's been on record for those two contracts based upon a Bloomberg report. And Paris futures is up about 39% compared with us in Chicago, up about 17%. So I think wheat supports the corn market, continues to do that. But as far as breaking the corn higher out of a trading range, I continue to feel like that's really going to have to be up to the soybeans. And I think Ellen's point's huge about the soy meal. I think meal has been such a terrific friend and ally to the corn market. That's really where the bottom line sits as far as if you want better than 765 D's corn futures and break above a trading range, I think you have to have beans leading it at this point.
Okay.
You know, the one thing that we do have to look at, we are short on the wheat. We have terrible weather out west on the wheat, but we can't get wheat way too far ahead of corn or all of a sudden it doesn't become a feed grain anymore. And if we don't need any for feed, then we've got enough wheat. But we are short if we're going to go into the feed market.
Mike, what do we know about the southern hemisphere supply of wheat?
Well, that's one of the things things that I think will come out next week, and I think that's where the point about the meal and whether we can stop the bleeding here, it's pretty important, I think, especially as we get lower in volume as we get close to the Thanksgiving holiday. But Argentina's Buenos Aires and Cordoba provinces are looking at a much wetter pattern next week. They don't want that wetter pattern, and I think it could hurt some already damaged corn based upon some of the contacts that I've spoken with, some of the private stuff I get. So I think maybe South American weather, especially Argentine weather, becomes more of a friend to the market instead of a bear.
Turn your attention to the corn market. December contract, $7.43 on its high for the week, the low at 7.10.5. It settled at $7.27, down 11.75 cents. That's $7.27. I went back and looked to see where the top was. That was in the first week of August, by the way, at $8.49 on the December contract. So we're well off the top there. You all know that. December contract in the 2013 year at 6.08 3/4 was down 21 cents on the week. The top there, not nearly so far away, at $6.65. Over the past several weeks, I've asked whether producers should be locking in any of their new crop for sales of 2013 corn. Up until this point, most people have said, yeah, try 10% or so. That's a fairly safe bet. We'll go around the horn and see whether you're still thinking that might be something you should do. Ellen?
We're at 10 to 15% made when the red Dease was $6.50, and I'm not really interested in doing any selling at this stage of the game, but when we see prices out of the field at $6 or better for the guy that's not going to have storage, we'd probably bump that up a bit.
Wayne?
You know, Ellen was better at convincing her customers than I was, and we're going to give her an A-plus for that one, but we would like to round the $6.50 mark. I know last week you asked the same bunch on Commodity Week, and $6.50 seemed to be the thing. We're probably going to start in again somewhere in that $6.40 level and trying to put a little bit on. We're going to do a little bit different, though. We're probably going to try to buy some puts, sell a put below it, and maybe sell two calls above it, because there's some pretty good premium in those $8 and $9 calls.
And Mike?
Yeah, no sales yet on new crop. Todd, I think the $6.75, $7 level is still a number or a range that I'm still willing to hold out for. I will say that we probably started to lose some 13 bean acres this past week because, you know, you use a $12.25 new crop cash price, 60 bushel yield, you're at about $7.35 an acre gross revenue. A lot of producers in the Central Corn Belt tell me they want $800 per acre gross to be able to shift back from corn on corn to back to a bean rotation.
Hey, what tells you that you can get to $6.75 on corn?
I think we can get a bean-led rally out of this market, and I think wheat is supportive and the global supplies are supportive enough that that's my overvalue level, given that we are literally at a 17-year low in global coarse grain stocks-to-use ratios, and I think those kind of numbers the trade's just simply forgotten at this point.
So you're just depending on an acreage battle to show up fairly quickly then?
Not necessarily that. I still continue, and I sound probably like a broken record at this point on the Commodity Week program, but I still think there is corn demand out there in the export market that we're going to uncover and find, especially as we get past the middle part of December, that we start to see quite a bit of corn demand come around in the export market very, very soon.
No, I'm going to probe this with the other two just a bit, because he's much more friendly, I think, than many analysts for new crops, certainly at this point. Could you get to $6.75, or you say $6.50, and we might not see it again?
No, I think we can get in that. We're going to have to wait until we are getting to the end of the year or into the first quarter before we can see those types of prices. When guys are really serious about pushing those pencils, I think we could have another acreage battle. It's going to really depend on what guys think they need. I don't know if $800 gross is okay, or if it's something lower than that.
I want the 60 bushel beans, but I think the one thing that's going to do it is weather, whether it's South American weather, whether it's North American weather, or whether it's European weather. I think it's going to be, because we're looking at large acreage coming on in here. But along with that, we can see a lot of differential and cut off. I think, as Ag Resource put it this week, the pricing is okay at this level with very, very good weather out of South America.
I'm going to pin your ears back just a bit, Mike, again. is that okay? Because you and I went on Friday through the cattle on feed numbers, and placed on feed during October were 87%. That's the lowest number since they have started the series back in 1996. There's obviously, and we've known this for a while, destruction of demand in at least the cattle market. Are you sure we can make that kind of run?
Oh, goodness, no. And I'd lose my license if I said I was sure, Todd. I think, you know, I have to put a disclaimer on saying hello to everybody at this point in time. No, I just feel like we have not put a lot of demand premium in the corn market. And the way the wheat market is shaping up, if we could get the beans to turn friendly, I think the demand side of the corn will come. And I think that's where, for right now, like Ellen was talking about, the fourth quarter, first quarter time period, before the February base price is where my target would be to get that $6.75, $7 level. Then I'll start throwing in the towel because I don't want to give up too much gross revenue.
Ellen, a quick assessment of the cattle on feed numbers as they came out on Friday afternoon?
I think they really fell within the trade estimates. I didn't see anything that looked startling. Probably the total on feed was a little bit friendly. I would anticipate this to be very supportive to the market.
You're listening, of course, to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org in just a couple minutes. We'll return. We'll talk with Harry Cooney. He's at GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois, and we'll look at agricultural inputs and what producers might be doing about locking in some supplies, maybe for diesel and gasoline and propane in the coming months. I'm Todd Gleason. This is Commodity Week.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. The first half of November has been both cooler and drier than normal. The statewide average temperature was 42 degrees. That's 2 degrees below normal. Statewide average precipitation was 1.1 inches, and that is 68% of normal. How will the rest of November play out? The forecast for the upcoming 2 weeks looks like below normal precipitation and above normal temperatures are in store. The forecast for this weekend includes highs in the low to mid 50s on Saturday across Illinois, with lows in the low 30s on Saturday night. Highs on Sunday are expected to be in the mid to upper 50s. By Sunday night, lows will be in the upper 30s. Temperatures are expected to remain mild for this time of year for the rest of the week, with a slight chance of rain Monday night. The forecast for Thanksgiving Day is for highs ranging from 55 degrees in Chicago to 61 degrees in Springfield and 64 degrees in Mount Vernon, with partly cloudy skies and winds out of the southwest. There is no significant chance of precipitation, but there is at least a 50% chance of afternoon drowsiness after Thanksgiving dinner. Finally, 4-inch soil temperatures around the state have really cooled off in the last few weeks. Temperatures have ranged from a low 40s in northern Illinois to the low to mid 40s in central and southern Illinois. The coldest spot is 40 degrees at Freeport, and the warmest is 46 degrees at Fairfield and Brownstown. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
You're listening to the November 16 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the program. In studio with us, Ellen Dearden of AgReview and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Mike Zuzulo is on the phone line from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's based out of Lafayette, Indiana. And on the other phone line, Harry Cooney of GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. He's an agricultural energy inputs analyst and specialist. He usually joins us once a month on a Tuesday afternoon to talk about this marketplace, but I thought it might be important at this particular time, Harry, simply because the seasonals you told us on Tuesday might be in play for producers to think about locking in some of their energy supplies for the coming year. Tell me first about those seasonals.
Well, that's right, Todd. There's a strong seasonal tendency in the energy complex to bottom out prices in the Thanksgiving to Valentine Day time period. On about 12 or 13 out of the past 15 years, this has occurred. And so we tend to look at this period of time that's just ahead of us here now to start locking in fuel for the next year. So it'd be for 2013. And again, this pattern doesn't always work, but if you're betting on any tried and true method, working with the seasonal seems like it works more often than not. And so that's why we're starting to talk about this, and we talked about it with you back on Tuesday there. And so we're really starting to look for opportunities now in the next month or two to buy some bargains. And in some markets, we can find some bargains, and in other ones, there's just not many bargains to be had just yet. But it's still early. I mean, we're just getting up to that Thanksgiving to Valentine's period. So we'll be looking for those buys and bargains over the next several months. A lot of people will be out shopping for Christmas presents here on Black Friday in about a week, and so we'll be looking to do some shopping and see what sales there are in the energy markets for end users to be able to lock in.
So, Harry, are we talking about propane or diesel or unleaded or for everything?
Well, that's a good question, and really it is everything. The complex tends to bottom out in this period of time, and all of those markets that you mentioned tend to bottom out. Not the same every year. In fact, right now we're starting to find some better bargains in the propane market for next year than we are in the diesel fuel and gasoline. I guess when you look at just the liquid fuels alone, though, gasoline for spring looks like a better bargain than diesel fuel now. So the best bargains that we see right now are in propane, but then next would be in gasoline. What we tend to look at for spring buying for, let's say, the ag use, we tend to look at June futures of gasoline and heating oil on the NYMEX. Of course, the heating oil futures contract would be the proxy for diesel fuel. Here recently, gasoline futures have been trading about 20 cents under diesel fuel prices for that June futures contract. And that June futures contract would be used for May delivery especially. So we tend to look at the June futures quite a bit. 20 cents under in that spread historically has been a pretty good buy. So that's why when we start buying our diesel fuel, and it'll probably be just after Thanksgiving, probably sometime in early to mid-December, we'll probably look in the liquids to start buying the gasoline first, because we know that spread suggests that gasoline is a better buy than diesel fuel. Eventually, though, we'll have to get on to making some diesel fuel purchases because for most agricultural needs, diesel fuel needs are far, far greater than gasoline, of course.
Well, as you say this, Harry, I mean, you're saying that we should be looking on locking in gas and diesel fuel probably during the month of December. How about the propane use for anhydrous and what we've talked about, that urea was going to urea and anhydrous would probably be working up come spring?
Well, when we look at some of the fertilizer markets, of course, you have the natural gas influence, and I don't deal a lot with natural gas, but we watch it some. And the natural gas market is really on the verge of potentially a larger upside move. Natural gas in the lead month just reached the $3.80 mark in $3.80 in the futures. And the chart suggests that once you go over that $3.80 to $4 level, this could be quite an exciting upside move if that would occur. And that could take that market on higher. So when we look at the natural gas market, definitely this 380 to 4 is potentially a big impact and a very important resistance level. And of course, we know that natural gas can have a large impact on fertilizer prices.
Harry, on the diesel, couple different questions. The Department of Energy said last month they're looking at an 18% colder winter this year versus last year. Wondered if Gromark had an expectation for this winter for the Midwest. Also, with the already low diesel stocks and this colder winter weather outlook, and then
what's recently going on in the Middle East, does that make diesel one of those commodities that could have a sharp, sharp rally that we maybe don't expect yet?
Well, the first question about the weather, we've seen forecasts. I mean, one of our main ones that we look at really is the National Weather Service. And a month ago, they had most of the Midwest in the warmer than normal segment. It was yesterday morning, they came out with some new forecasts, and now they're suggesting more normal temperatures across a great part of the U.S., including the Midwest. So we'll have to see. Our thoughts have been that we'll probably have more of a normal winter this year, that probably we would not have two back-to-back above normal years like we had, or winters like we had last winter. The likelihood of having two extremely warm winters seems to be unlikely. So we're betting on more of a normal winter. And as far as the diesel fuel, yeah, the Middle East has really started to come to light. Even yesterday and the day before, we were watching CNN in the office, and about every time you look up, they're showing bombs going off over there, and that definitely keeps the market unnerved. If we look at the charts, for example, of gasoline and diesel fuel or heating oil, we've just been in a sideways band all of November, and some of the markets have been in the sideways band since mid-October. In fact, crude oil futures since about the 20th of October have been just in this sideways band. So it looks like here in the near term, the markets are in the energy complex are losing their downside price momentum. Some of the short-term indicators are starting to go into the buy mode. Some of the stochastics and MACDs on some of the short-term models are starting to turn supportive. So I wouldn't be surprised if with this turmoil over in the Middle East, that the markets don't cry for some type of a pop into the next week or two here, and then we'll see how all this is playing out in the Middle East. It just seems like it's time for a little pop. The stock market's a little oversold down in here. Some of the head and shoulders objectives on the Dow Jones were for it to get down around 12.4. It got down, in the late week, I think, down to around 12.5. So, again, it's oversold and probably due for a little bit of a pop. RSI down around 20. So if the stock market would pop, then that would help the energies pop also.
Harry, I wanted to get back to a comment about diesel. Is part of the reason that diesel prices have held at such a high price in relation to unleaded is because of the exports of diesel now?
Exports of diesel, definitely. Exports are very strong. They've been increasing for the past several years in diesel fuel exports. One of the main countries of destination for diesel fuel exports is the country of Chile. But there's a number of countries around the world where exports of diesel fuel are going. And that's right, that's keeping support under the diesel fuel market. And that's one reason why we want to be looking here over the next month or two to see if we can come up with any bargains. However, those exports are a big part of why the prices really aren't any great bargains out there, you see. And so I wonder if really we're going to get many bargains in diesel fuel this year. If we don't see many bargains by mid-December, we may just go ahead and start making some contract purchases for next spring in the diesel fuel. Diesel fuel stocks well under normal levels, and they continue under normal levels here as we get ready to end November.
Okay, so, and I think we know the answer to this question, but we wanted to ask one more question, which was, should producers, when they're looking to lock in their energy prices, do it based off of price, or are they basing it off of time? Because you talk an awful lot about the seasonals, and you do that fairly regularly with us on those Tuesdays and have for, as long as you've been on here with us.
Sure. That's a good question, and I have to say it has to be on both. I mean, if we're entering the right time of the year, but we don't have the price, we just have to go ahead and lock it in. However, if we're down at a price level that we feel is advantageous, we might start doing it even though we're not in that present, in that time period. Let's say, for example, we started locking in some propane just today in the market. We're not into that Thanksgiving to Valentine. We're getting close to that period, but the price looks very good, and some of the contract prices were looking very, very good, so we just started going ahead and locking them in. So I hate to say both, but that has to be my answer, though.
But apparently with you, it's mostly the seasonal or time first, and then it is price if it's a true bargain, in your opinion.
Oh, that's right. I guess that'd be a good way to say it. Yeah. We go by the seasonals mostly. And then, but if price overruns it, then we go with the price. That's right.
What price would he use for locking in diesel if he got down to there now?
So the question, Wayne wants to know, what price would you use for diesel if you got to it? Where would you lock it in?
Oh, I suppose if we take a look at the futures market, and I'm going to have to use futures because basis levels can vary. But if we could get down to using nearby futures, if we could get down to around 280 to 285, that in nearby futures, and then we just have to see where the back months are at that time, that would be an area that we would start looking at. Why I say 280 to 285, that's about a 50% retracement from last summer's lows up to the recent highs. And that would be a good level to start locking some in down at those levels. My guess is that we will get down to those levels.
All right. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you all.
Hey, thanks, Harry. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Hey, Mike, thank you.
Thank you for letting me stay home and have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye.